Metabolic Studio, preserving a home for veterans, a breach of and fiduciary duty, the failure of the Department of Veterans Affairs to use land donated by a National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers in West Los Angeles under an 1888 deed as a home for veterans. Metabolic Studio, a direct charitable activity of the Annenberg Foundation, forward by Lauren Bond.
There is no question in my mind that the 13 empty buildings located on well-irrigated lawns on the north side of the campus of the Veterans Affairs of West Los Angeles will one day, in the not-too-distant future, once again be a home for veterans.
It is only a matter of time before the veterans coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan have a need of time and space to mend. And as the post-war experiences of the Vietnam era veterans show, that need will only become more acute over time.
The Metabolic Studio, a direct charitable activity of the Annenberg Foundation, has been on site on the campus of the VA of WLA since July 2009. We have had the privilege of working with veterans and clinicians here. I have never before worked with such committed and able people.
The focus of the work has been the strawberry flag, an artwork made of salvaged strawberries and reclaimed water that was fully powered off the VA grid.
The daily practice associated with tended to living things helped to de-alienate one of the well-irrigated but under-purposed quads.
No one but two memorandums of the understanding agreement issued by the executive leadership of the VA of West LA under the director Don Bider authorized us to do this work.
This position paper is meant to open up discussion on how we can better serve the number of people who are the human cost of war. Currently, the hospital at the VA of WLA is responding to the ever-growing need of a large community of veterans in this country of 250,000 veterans, but it is not enough. The total number of beds at the VA of the WLA itself, inclusive of all residential treatment programs, is under 1,400. This in a country where there are 20,000 homeless veterans on the streets each night.
I believe we were initially given our leave to create and sustain our Strawberry Flag project as a part of Planet Tree Initiative. Planet Tree puts holistic patient-centered care on the hospital properties. Because the Metabolic Studio operates as a site-based probe of the Annenberg Foundation, Strawberry Flag came fully funded, insured, and staffed.
Furthermore, the Annenberg Foundation, where I serve as a director, has been in the forefront of the American communications and civics, with a proven commitment to veterans for over half a century. Our main offices are in Los Angeles. I believe this offered the VA of WLA a certain amount of confidence in engaging with us. The large-scale strawberry flag was a deployable experimental aquaponic strawberry farm that was operated by a team of veterans who worked for the Metabolic Studio as part of the VA of the WLA's compensated work therapy program.
Made of salvaged and reclaimed strawberries and tended by a team of CWT veterans, the sculpture grew not only strawberries but also a culture around itself. A veterans print studio was created, an active kitchen was established, and that among other things was served Tea Daily and the Strawberry Gazette newsletter emerged.
These innovations were the result of the optimism created by the Strawberry Flag artwork and the ingenuity of the veterans and the clinicians who saw opportunity there. Why then has all this been put to an abrupt end by the leadership of the VA of the WLA?
The answer is hornet's nest of issues that buzz around land use here. This property is very valuable, as are the private residents surrounding the VA of West LA. The growing problem, veteran homelessness, plus the public perception of veterans are as unstable, has them undesirables on property that is held in trust for their very benefit.
This position paper seeks to redress this. It is a position that warrants and needs defending. Wading through historical deeds, enabling legislation, historical accounts, contracts, and other relevant documents and materials is cumbersome and labor-intensive work.
The Metabolic Studio believes it is worth it. Clearly, we ought not fight wars if we cannot support the people who risk their lives to fight. The original deed of 1888, which gave this land for veteran use, secures it in trust as a home for these people in their perpetuity. The VA is the contemporary custodian of that trust.
The Metabolic Studio works at the intersection of art, practice, and philosophy. Since 2005, I have focused on physical and social brownfields, places incapable of supporting life. The sites where I have worked have given me a unique opportunity to engage with bureaucracies that hold land in trust for the people of California, so as to better assist them in making progress in the often daunting task associated with remediating these brownfields. I have learned to wade through the complexities of working with such bureaucracies as the California State Park System, not a cornfield 205-6, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, Silver and Water 206 and ongoing, and the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, Strawberry Flag 2009-2010.
Among these brownfields, I have worked on the property of VA West LA is something of a paradox. It is beautiful, an earthy paradise. It has been a healing place for a millennium known by Tongva as a place for three streams, curative properties. It will be again. President Obama has made a commitment to end this homelessness in for veterans in his first term. That promise is still possible. It involves a redefinition of this property as the first back to include that which it has been and will once again a home for recuperating soldiers.
Lauren Bond, Metabolic Studio.
This position paper is a product of the Metabolic Studio, a direct charitable activity of the Annenberg Foundation, led by artist Lauren Bond. A director of the Annenberg Foundation, the Annenberg Foundation has been a leader in the philanthropic support of American civics, with a proven commitment to veterans for over half a century. This paper addresses the breach of trust and the violation of fiduciary due to the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and in failing to adhere to the restrictions imposed upon it pursuant to the 1888 deed, under which land in West Los Angeles that was donated to the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers was required to be permanently used as a home for disabled veterans. In this position at the Metabolic Studio, that the restrictions imposed under the 1888 deed created a charitable trust under the National Home had a legally imposed fiduciary duty as a trustee to permanently use the donated land as a home for veterans. Consequently, as successor up to the National Home, the VA holds the donated land only in the capacity of a trustee and is subject to such legally imposed fiduciary duty. Under applicable law, the donated land can only be used in a manner that directly contributes to the provision of a home for veterans, and the VA is not permitted to divert the use of the land for another or different purpose, even if such other uses result in rental or other income to the VA. Rather than adhering to its obligation under the 1888 deed, the VA has chosen to jettison the restrictions placed on the donated land on its own whim. In doing so, the VA has turned its back on fiduciary duty that the acceptance of a restricted donation of land imposed upon it. Indeed, rather than using the donated land as a home for veterans, the status of a veteran on the West LA, the VA has shifted from that of resident of a home to that of patient in the hospital to be charged, cured, and moved on. Moreover, the VA has used the donated land for a multitude of purposes that, beyond any doubt, do not directly contribute to the provision of a veteran's home. Even worse, these other uses effectively bar the use of the donated land from its dedicated purpose as a home for veterans. Notably in this regard, land sharing agreements between the VA and commercial and other organizations continue to put the donated land to uses that have absolutely nothing to do with providing a home for veterans, but are in fact antithetical to such use. This position paper is intended to elucidate the land use issues of the VA of West LA that should be considered going forward and to serve as evidence of a clear and present need for discussion and review of these issues at this stage in the evolution of the 1888 deed. These issues will move forward into time well beyond the present, and with utter certainty, the veterans of this country, including those about to return home from war, and the 20,000 veterans living on the streets of the Los Angeles County, are entitled to have them fully considered and reviewed. Background on the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers and the West Los Angeles Branch Home. National Home created by the Act of Congress to provide a home for veterans. The National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers was incorporated by Congress by the Act of March 3, 1865. See Exhibit 1 attached here too for enabling legislation as a result of the federal government accepting responsibility for sheltering citizen veterans. The National Home created a series of branch homes for veterans throughout the country, which were operated by a board of managers. Originally known as National Asylum for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers and Sailors of the Civil War. After years of encouragement from the Board of Managers, and with no debate, the same was officially charged by Congress on January 23, 1873, to the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers to codify the domestic character of this federal institution and to reflect its true purpose, the provision of a home for veterans. The Military Affairs Committee of the House of Representatives emphasized that the branch homes of the National Home were to be homes for the country's defenders, not asylums for the helpless, poor whom society, through laws of its existence, is bound to support. The National Home offered a generous and dignified space for citizens, a system of relatively comfortable, modern, and ornamented branch homes providing veterans with food and board, medical care, recreation, religious instruction, and employment opportunities, without suffering from the stigma afflicting non-veterans forced to seek help from the local poorhouse. The National Home was not a charity, but a home tendered to the veteran as a partial remission of the debt the government was obligated to pay to those who fought in the nation's service. The provision of a home to veterans by the National Home, therefore,
was not based upon moral obligation to care for the helpless, but was based on the concept that veterans in need had earned the right to be provided for by their country. In the years between 1865 and 1870, the Board of Managers established four branch homes of the National Home. During the years 1884 through 1900, the Board of Managers added four new branch homes, including the Pacific Branch Home in West Los Angeles, which opened in 1888, where the VA Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System is now located from its beginning. The Board of Managers emphasized that the purpose of the National Home was provided a home for veterans. For example, an early statement issued by the Board of Managers to notify veterans of the benefits of the branch homes read in part as follows. The home is neither a hospital nor almshouse, but a home where subsistence quarters, clothing, religious instruction, employment, when possible, and amusements are provided by the government of the United States. The provision is not a charity, but is a reward to brave and deserving. The first president of the Board of Managers, Benjamin F. Butler, speaking at the dedication of the Northwestern Branch's main building, stated, "Let no soldier coming here understand that he is coming to an almshouse. He is coming home, earned richly, earned by him, and it is his forever." This theme was followed by Louis Gunkel, another member of the Board of Managers at the time, who stated at the dedication of the Central Branch that our consistent aim has been to care for a disabled soldier and provide for him a home, a pleasant, comfortable, and happy home, the promise that that the government was creating, a home-like institution, helped legitimize this entitlement, thus allowing the national home and its occupants to escape the stigma so often attached to dependent non-veterans and the institution built for their care. The concept of the branch homes of the national home truly being home was supported by the Victorian ideology of the time. The idea of home had a powerful connotation in Victorian America. The home was seen as the primary unit of society and most valued locus of care, which provided the most holistic approach to human well-being. By creating a network of homes, the Board of Managers of the National Home signaled the government's intuition or intention to assume the same domestic responsibilities for veterans, offering food, shelter, clothing, and medical care as mothers and wives assumed for their families in the 19th century household economy. This rhetoric of domiciliary then linked veterans' institutional care to the private and gregarious family house. The branch homes therefore sought to provide a home for the life by catering to the whole person, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical. In an attempt to create home-like establishments, the branch homes were distinguished in their architecture and landscaping. The change in name from asylum to home, the care taken to construct aesthetically pleasing campuses and plan attractive grounds, and efforts to provide entertainment and work all point to the Board of Managers. Insistence that the veterans not be viewed as paupers or dependents, but as men who had earned the right to government-provided home. In keeping with the original home concept of the national home, the duration of the stay of a veteran at a branch home was indefinite, whereby the branch home provided lifelong or long-term residences for veterans, consistent with the concept of the primary promissory of a home. The branch home approached the veteran as a multifaceted human being with needs beyond only medical care, so that veteran living at a branch home was not considered a medicalized patient who must recover and move on, but rather as someone who is being provided with a permanent domestic living environment. Disability for purposes of admission to the national home was interpreted broadly to include not only visible wounds, but invisible, recurring illnesses, including those resulting from the psychological impact of war. A history of the Eastern Branch states of its residents that in general, These one-time wounded and injured soldiers had long since been patched up, and by the time they arrived at Togus, they were in about as good a shape as they would ever be again. They weren't coming primarily for medical care, for the whole they were fairly hale and hearty. Thus, in addition to admitting amputees and the elderly, the National Home also admitted seemingly vigorous young people who, as a result of suffering from effects of other less visually dramatic wartime effects, were disabled from obtaining their living by their own labors. Further, by the mid-1880s, the meaning of disability for purposes of admission to the National Home had been broadened by the admittance of veterans who became incapacitated in civilian life.
Section B, Branch Home in the West Los Angeles, created by the Act of Congress to acquire land to be permanently used as a home for veterans. The Branch Home in West L.A. was specifically authorized by the Act of Congress in March 2, 1887, Act. See Exhibit 2 attached to hereto enabling legislation, which provided that the Board of Managers of the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers are hereby authorized, empowered, and directed to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of set National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, to be by such board located at such a place in the states west of the Rockies as said board shall appear most desirable and advantageous. The branch home selected by Board of Managers of the National Home under the Act was Pacific Branch Home in West L.A., which operated in 1888. This is where the greater Los Angeles healthcare system is now located. Thus, it was by the very Act of Congress, as implemented by the Board of Managers, that the branch home in West L.A. was required to be located, established, constructed, and permanently maintained as a separate branch home of the National Home. Section 2 of said Act provided that all honorably discharged soldiers, sailors who served in the regular and volunteer services of the United States and who are disabled by diseases, wounds, or otherwise, and who have no adequate means of support, and by reason of such disability are incapable of earning their living, shall be entitled to admit to said home for disabled soldiers. As discussed further above, the disability for purposes of admission to the National Home was a broad concept. It included not only visible wounds, but invisible reoccurring illnesses, including those resulting from psychological impact of war, and therefore, in addition to admitting amputees and the elderly, the National Home was also admitting seemingly vigorous young people who, as a result of suffering from the effects of other less visual dramatic wartime effects, or as a result of becoming incapacitated in civilian life, were disabled from obtaining their living by their own labors. Section 3 of said Act further provided that as soon thereafter as practicable from the approval of this Act and the said Board of Managers shall secure the necessary lands and commence erection of suitable buildings for the use of said branch. Pursuant to the Branch Act, the Board of Managers subsequently made the determination to create Pacific Branch Home to be located in West L.A., which operated and opened in 1888, and to accept the land as a donation under the 1888 deed by John P. Jones and Arcadia B. DeBaker in order to establish such a branch home. Section C, the land of the West L.A. Los Angeles Branch Home. As further described in the West L.A. VA property table, attached hitherto as Exhibit 3, the land originally donated to the National Home, located in West L.A., was conveyed under four separate deeds as follows. 1. An 1888 deed conveyed 300 acres, by John P. Jones and Arcadia DeBaker to the National Home. 2. An 1888 deed conveyed 300 acres by John Wolfskill to the National Home. 3. An 1899 deed conveying 235.5 acres of land by Santa Monica Land and Water Company, successors to and owned by John P. Jones and Arcadia DeBaker, to the National Home. At about the same time as this deed, 20 acres of the original donated land by John P. Jones and Arcadia DeBaker under the 1888 deed was returned to them. 4. A 1921 deed conveying 35.67 acres by Roy Jones, son of John P. Jones, and his wife Pauline to the National Home. The land on which the VA of West LA is currently located is attributed solely to the donation of land made in 1888 and 1889 by John P. Jones and Arcadia B. DeBaker, and the 1921 deed from John P. Jones' son. This is the case because the land donated in 1888 by John Wolfskill is now used for the Los Angeles National Cemetery, the West LA Federal Building, and the Los Angeles City Park, with none of such land, therefore, being used by the VA of West LA. As discussed below, the land donated under the 1888 deed and the 1899 deed by John P. Jones and Arcadia DeBaker and the 1921 deed by Jones' son are subject to the same restrictions as such land be permanently used to provide home for the veterans. Attached is Exhibit 4, hitherto, as the current day map showing the land attributable to each of the four deeds. The colors are laid over as USGS maps, which admirably depicts the boundaries and neighboring streets, but is now out of date in its representation of the specific buildings.
D. Original use of the West Los Angeles branch home as a home for veterans. Consistent with the purpose of Congress in creating the National Home, the West Los Angeles branch home sought to provide a home for life by catering to the whole person, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical. In keeping with the prevailing belief that an aesthetically pleasing environment promoted social order and increased quality of life. For example, well-known architect Stanford White designed the home buildings at the West Los Angeles branch home, while the grounds were quickly transformed into one of the most beautifully arranged and kept parks in the country. At the West Los Angeles branch home, entertainment and edification were considered important for maintaining resident well-being. In the course of their day, a veteran might browse the West Los Angeles Home Library's 5,545-volume collection, join the West Los Angeles Home Baseball Team, find an unfailing source of entertainment in the West Los Angeles Home Aviaries, or undertake paid work at the home. In addition, a regular stream of people came to visit the West Los Angeles home and meet the old soldiers, 17,912 in 1893. The home band performed daily, often followed by talks, movies, magic lantern shows, and at least one occasion, an aerial acrobatics display. Residents in uniform who wished to attend were admitted free of charge to all events. Attached here to, as Exhibit 5, are a series of historical photographs depicting the original use of the West Los Angeles branch home, including the home's gardens, landscapes, and recreational and other facilities that created the domestic environment and home for life for veterans. 5. Description of 1888 deed transferring donated land to West Los Angeles branch home. An 1888 deed attached hereto as Exhibit 8 conveyed 300 acres of land in West Los Angeles by John P. Jones and Arcadia B. DeBaker to the National Home. The deed contained a witness list clause specifically recognizing an act of Congress on March 2, 1887, whereby the Board of Managers for the National Home was authorized to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of said National Home for Disabled Veterans. Located west of the Rocky Mountains, the branch home was selected by the Board of Managers under this act for the Pacific Branch Home in West Los Angeles, which opened in 1888, where the VA Greater Los Angeles healthcare system is now located. This witness list clauses in 1888 D specifically reads as follows. Witnesses, that whereas by an act of Congress approved March 2, 1887, to provide for the location and erection of a branch home for disabled volunteer soldiers west of the Rocky Mountains, the Board of Managers of the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers were authorized, empowered, and directed to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, to be by such board located at such place in the states west of the Rocky Mountains as to said board should appear most desirable and advantageous. The witnesses clause under 1888 D further acknowledge that consistent with the Act of Congress of March 2, 1887, the land donated by the donors was subject to the express restriction that the purpose of the land to be used to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain such branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers specifically provides as follows. And whereas the parties hereto of the first part, Jones and Baker, in consideration that the party hereto of the second part, the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, should locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers on site to be selected by its Board of Managers along the dividing line between the Rancho San Jose, Du Buenos Aires, San Vicente, and Santa Monica, offered to donate to the said party of the second part 300 acres of land, being a portion of said Rancho San Vicente and Santa Monica belong to them, the said parties of the first part, on which to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain such branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers. The witnesses clause under the 1888 D further acknowledges that in consideration of the offer of the donated land by the donors, the Board of Managers had selected the land offered by the donors for the purposes aforesaid, as a result of which National Home expressly accepted the land to be used to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain such branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers.
Finally, the actual conveyance language under the 1888 deed also specifically provided that the conveyance of the land by the donors was in consideration of the premises and of the location, establishment, construction, and permanent maintenance of a branch of the National Home, specifically stating, now therefore, in consideration of the premises and of the location, establishment, construction, and permanent maintenance of a branch of said National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, on such tract of land so selected, and of the benefits to accrue to the said parties of the first part, owners of the said Rancho San Vicente y Santa Monica, by such location have given and granted, and by these presents do give and grant unto the said party of the second part, all of the following described land and premises, situate lying and being in the county of Los Angeles, state of California, and particularly bounded and described as follows, for the purpose of such branch, home for disabled volunteer soldiers, to be thereon so located, established, constructed, and permanently maintained. 6. 1888 deed created a charitable or public trust requiring that donated land be permanently used by VA as a home for veterans. A. Applicable law establishes that a charitable or public trust is created when land is donated to a government entity subject to a deed restriction that land be used for charitable or public purpose. Where a donor donates land to a governmental entity and the deed conveying the property expresses the donor's intention for the land to be permanently dedicated for a specified charitable use for the benefit of an indefinite class of persons, a charitable trust is created and the government entity is considered the trustee. See, the city of Palm Springs was a living desert reserve, and authorities cited therein in case law discussed below. In the context of a deed conveying donated land, the intention of the donor is of paramount importance. City of Manhattan Beach v. Superior Court, 13th Cal 4th, 232-52-1996. Such intention is determined from the words which have been employed in connection with the subject matter and from the surrounding circumstances existing at the time of the execution of the deed. A court may also rely upon recitals in the deed. Murphy v. Bill Bray, 1997-754604, California, 1997. It is not necessary that any particular words or conduct be manifest to create a charitable trust, and a charitable trust may be created without using the words trust or trustee. Goddard v. Corver, 100 Arizona, 135-412, P2D-259, in 1966. Citing Scott on Trust 24-25, 2nd edition, 1956, Restatement, 2nd of Trust 2D and 24. Moreover, the law favors gifts made for a charitable purpose, and a court will liberally construe the document making such a gift to accomplish the intent of the donor. In Re-Estate of Breeden, 208, Cal App 3D 981, 256 Cal Report 813-1989, Estate of Tarrant 38 Cal 2D 42-237 P2D 505 in 1951. Charitable purposes that will support the creation of a charitable trust are broadly defined to include such things as the fulfillment of governmental purposes, relief of poverty, promotion of health, and the furthering of other purposes, the accomplishment of which is beneficial to the community or some class, indefinite as to numbers and individuals. Walton v. City of Red Bluff, 1991, citing Restatement, 2nd of Trust, 368. People v. Cogswell, 1896. Restatement, 2nd of Trust, 368. Gifts in aid of governmental purposes are uniformly held to be charitable purposes. The State of Hart v. County of Los Angeles, 1957. Murphy v. Bill Bray, 1997, California, 1997.
As are donations for promoting the welfare of mankind at large, or of a community, or of some class, forming a part of it, indefinite as to numbers and individuals. Estate of Schloss v. Reinhardt, 56 California 2nd edition, 248-363P, 2nd edition, 875, 1961. The case of South Carolina Department of Mental Health versus McMaster, 372, South Carolina 175, 642, 2nd edition, 552, 2007, demonstrates that the courts will find a charitable trust to result from a donation of land to the government or a government entity, subject to restrictions on its use for public purposes. In that case, donations of land were made to the regents of the Lunatic Asylum of South Carolina, pursuant to deeds containing restrictive language requiring the use of the property to be limited. For the use and purposes of the State Hospital for the Insane, the State Lunatic Asylum was created in 1821 with the related legislation recognizing that the benevolent purposes of society required on the part of the state a public institution for the reception and cure of lunatics, for the instruction of the deaf and dumb, and for the maintenance of the poor and destitute of either class. The court found that the deeds under which the land was donated created a charitable trust, stating, "The property here was conveyed for the charitable purposes of the State Hospital for the Insane. It was conveyed to the Board of Regents of the hospital and the General Assembly enacting enabling legislation specifically for the benevolent purpose of establishing a hospital for the insane. We find that the deeds and the legislative acts giving rise to the state hospital clearly evidence the creation of a charitable trust. In reaching its decision that a charitable trust was created, the court in South Carolina Department of Mental Health versus McMaster relied upon the 1922 case of Harter versus Johnson, 122 South Carolina 96, 115 second edition 217, 1922, where that court was called upon to interpret the will of a deceased physician who had, by his will, bequeathed all the residue of my estate, real and personal and mixed. I give and devise for the purpose of establishing, building, and equipping a public hospital in the town of Fairfax. The court held that a charitable trust was created, specifically recognizing that in the case of a charitable donation made for specified purposes, no formality in the use of language is required in order to create a charitable trust, stating, "Trust for public charitable purposes, being for objects of permanent interest and benefit to the public, and perhaps being perpetual in their duration, are upheld under circumstances under which private trusts would fail. No formality in the use of language is necessary in order to create a public charitable trust. The courts looked to the purpose for which the gift was made, rather than to the particular words used to designate that purpose. And while a gift cannot be sustained as a charity unless made upon a trust, either express or implied, that it shall be devoted to uses which the law recognizes as charitable. The omission from a bequest of the words in trust is not material, where the intention is clearly manifested that the whole property shall be applied by the legality for the benefit of other persons than himself. It is said the founding and maintenance of hospitals and asylums of various kinds and homes for destitute and friendless children and the aged and infirm constitute charitable uses or trusts and bequests devises, or other gifts for such purposes will be upheld in equity with a strong hand. Trusts for such purposes may be established and carried into effect when, if not a charitable nature, they could not be supported. In Murphy versus Bilbray, 1997, WL754604, South, 2nd edition, California, 1997, a 1929 deed stated that it was conveying Mount Helix Nature Theater to the County of San Diego, State of California, and establishing an endowment fund for the perpetual maintenance and betterment thereof. The deed also stated that the donor had improved the Mount Helix property for the purpose of rendering it suitable for El Limosari Scenario, religious, educational, and public uses and purposes. The court held that these words clearly indicated an intent to create a charitable trust for the benefit of the public. A deed conveying property donated to a governmental entity containing restrictions imposed by the donor has also been determined to constitute a public trust, a concept similar to the charitable trust doctrine, which similarly imposes a fiduciary duty upon the governmental entity as trustee to use the donated property only for the purpose specified by the donor. In Wellwood Mary Memorial Library, Com versus City Council, 215 California Appellate 3rd, 1003-1012 and 263 California 896, 1989, for example, the City of Palm Springs, California acquired donated land by two deeds executed by the donors that restricted the use of the property for the use as a public library. In affirming an order preventing the city from using the property for purposes other than those related to public library, the court applied the public trust's doctrine, stating a public trust is created when property is held by a public entity for the benefit of the general public. Here, title to the library, see also Big Spur Properties versus Mott, 62 California Appellate 3D99132 California 835-1976. Holding that a deed requiring land donated to the State of California be used in perpetuity as public park is owned by the State of California as trustee of a public trust for the benefit of the public. A State of Hart versus County of Los Angeles, 151 California Appellate, 2nd 271-311-P2D605, 1957. A public trust arises by operation of law where a municipal corporation accepts a grant of real property for park purposes. County of Solano versus Handery, 155 Cal Appellate 4th, 56666 California, 3D201, 2007. Citing case law for the proposition that the public trust doctrine applies where property is donated to a governmental entity for dedicated public purposes. B. Fiduciary duty of governmental entity holding land subject to charitable or public trust. Where a charitable or public trust is created upon a donation of land to a governmental entity, the governmental entity holds legal title to the land only as a trustee, subject to a legally imposed fiduciary duty to use the property only for the dedicated purpose specified by the donor. City of Palm Springs versus Living Desert Reserve, Supra. In such a case, the courts have uniformly held that the land cannot be used for another or different purpose, and the governmental entity cannot legally divert the use of property from the purposes to which it was dedicated under the deed.
C. E. G. Roberts, City of Palo Verde Estates, 93 California Appellant, 2D, 545-547, 209, PD 7, 1943, where the court stated that the law is clear that where a grant deed is for specified, limited, and definite purposes, the subject of the grant cannot be used for another different purpose. The courts endeavor to protect the public's interest in a charitable trust and will not allow such to fail because of the action of the trustee. Hart Jr. versus County of Los Angeles, 260 Cal Appellant, 2D, 512-67 Cal Repertoire, 242-1968. Further, the restrictions imposed on the property subject to a charitable trust are protected against being terminated or altered by an act of legislative body. C. Smith v. Moore, 225 S. 434 EDVA, 1963. The legislature cannot terminate a charitable trust nor seek to control its disposition. See also Second Ecclesiastical Society of Hartford v. Attorney General, 133-89-48 at 2D. 266, 1946. Supervision of charitable trust is an inherent judicial function and is not a matter for the legislature. Melwood Murray Memorial Library, Com versus City Council, 215 California Appellant, 3D, 1003-1012-263 California, 896, 1989. Trusts arising from the donation of property for a public library will prevent an ultra-virus and hence no legislative act. In Melwood Murray Memorial Library, Com versus City Council, 215 California Appellant, 3D, 1003-1012-263 Cal Repertoire, 896, 1989. Discussed above, the City of Palm Springs acquired a donated land by two deeds executed by the donors that restricted the use of property for the use of public library. After finding that a public trust was created as a result of the restriction on the use of the property imposed under the deeds, the court stated, any attempt to divert the use of property from its dedicated purposes or uses incidental thereto would constitute an ultra-virus act. Thus, it would proper not only use to issue an injunction to enforce the obligations arising from the existence of the public trust, i.e., to enforce city obligation to the use to use the property as a public library, but also preventing ultra virus and hence no legislative act. Citations omitted, emphasis added. Moreover, where land is donated for a dedicated purpose specified under the deed in determining whether the land is used for another or different purpose, the applicable test is not whether a proposed use consistent with the dedicated purpose or whether it will contribute to such, but whether the proposed use will directly contribute to the dedicated purposes. Emphasis added. Melwood Murray Memorial Library, Com versus City Council, 215 Cal App 3D 1003-1012-263 Cal Repertoire 896-1989. In Melwood Murray Memorial Library, Com land was donated to the City of Palm Springs under a deed requiring the city to continue and forever maintain Palm Springs Free Public Library. Above mentioned on buildings which are now may be hereafter placed on the property hereby conveyed, the city sought among other things to grant an assessment to a developer over the library property for purposes related to the adjoining proposed commercial development, including the placement of dining tables, chairs, and related equipment for an adjacent restaurant, to provide an open area on the library property for pedestrian traffic from the nearby streets to the proposed commercial development, and to raise approximately 4 feet of one of the library buildings. The court stated that any proposed use of the donated library must directly contribute to the use and enjoyment of the property for the library purposes, e.g., the proposed use of most directly facilitate the acquisition, retention, storage, and use of books, manuscripts, and similar materials. The court then held that the use proposed by the city in no way directly contributes to these purposes. The court specially noted to the following. The proposed use of library property by the city was in at least one way antithetical to the library's purposes, as proposed to the use of to destroy parts of the buildings where books and stored in use. The proposed use of the library property by the city obviously designed to enhance the uses to which the developer intends to put the surrounding commercial property, namely to enhance the use of property as restaurants and retail businesses by providing pleasant areas in which to talk, eat, converse, and by increasing the flow of pedestrian traffic around the library and into the foot traffic area of the restaurants and retail stores. It is a matter of common law, and not one reasonably subject to dispute, that such activities, agreeable as they may be, do not directly contribute to the use of the materials found in the libraries because they are distracting, conversing, or potentially harmful to the books or library. Finally, and perhaps most notable, the plan to grant the developer an assessment over the library property obviously would effectively bar the use of suburban tenement for the construction of the additional library rooms should be needed. Such a result is clearly in violation of the restriction contained in the 1838 Murray Deed, which required the city to forever maintain the library in and on the building which are now or may be hereafter placed on the property. In Big Sur Properties versus Mott, 62 Cal App 3D 99-132 Cal Repertoire 835-1976, the court addressed the issue of whether granting a right-of-way for private purposes across a public park, which was held by the state of California, a trustee of a public trust, was permissible, The court quoting the case of Roberts versus City of Palo Verde Estates, 93 Cal App 2D, 45209 PD 7, 1940T3, required that a proposed use most directly contribute to the use and enjoyment of the property for the purposes which the property was dedicated. The court then noted that in determining what is a park, we do not look to the type of structure erected, but rather to the use that structure is in relation to the park. The court held that right-of-way for private access across the land to the private property beyond the borders of the park cannot possibly be incidental to its use of the park, noting that the courts have guarded zealously the restrictive covenants donations of property for public use.
Because the use of donated land must directly contribute to the specific purpose for which it is dedicated. The use of donated property to produce income is not permitted. Where such use does not directly contribute to the dedicated purpose, even if the income would otherwise be used in furtherance of the dedicated purpose, c.e.g. Henfly and Lowly, 2 Cal Appropriate 3D 904-82 Cal Report 914-1970. Income to the state from the leasing of property will not justify use of the donated property where the use of property under a leasing agreement is not permitted under terms of deed conveying the property to the state. Absent such a rule, donor intent could be easily defeated and the dedicated purposes avoided merely by a government entity leasing the donated property in return for rental income. The County of Solana and Handerly, 155 California, APCO 456666, California Report 3D 201, 2007. The donors executed a deed in 1947 to the County of Solana, California, stating that said land shall be used only for county fair or exposition for Solana County and purposes indicate thereto, which may include public parks, playground, and or recreational areas, and for such other purposes for which county fairgrounds may be used. The court stated, under circumstances similar to those existing here, California courts have been loath to cast aside use restrictions on property contained in deeds. It is well settled that where a grant deed is for a specific, limited, and definite purpose, the subject of the grant cannot be used for another different purpose. Likewise, California courts have often held that here, a tract of land is donated to a city with restriction upon its use, as for instance, when it is donated or dedicated solely for park or a park, the city cannot legally divert the use of such property to purposes inconsistent with the terms of the grant. Citations omitted, emphasis added. Further, California courts have uniformly held that courts have guarded zealously the restrictive covenants in donations of property for public use. Big Sur Property 62, California Approved 3D 199-132, California Report 835-1976, Wellwood, Murray, Supra, 215, California, APCO, 3D at page 1013, 263, California Report, 896, Roberts versus City of Palos Verdes Estates, Supra, 93, California APCO, 2D at page 548, 209, page 2D7, 1943. Where property has been donated for public use, the courts have concluded that any attempt to divert the use of property from its dedicated purposes or uses incidental thereto is impermissible and would constitute an ultra vires act. Big Sur Property, Supra 62, California App 3D at page 104, 132, California Report 835. Big Sur Property, Supra specially recognized the accepted principle that where a grant deed is for a specific purpose, specific, limited, and definite purpose, the use of the property for a different purpose is prohibited, where the court stated. It is well settled that where a grant deed is for a specific, limited, and definite purpose, the subject of the grant cannot be used for another different purpose. Where a tract of land is donated to a city which is restricted upon its use, as, for instance, when it is donated or dedicated solely for a park, the city cannot legally divert the use of such property to purposes inconsistent with the terms of the grant. Moreover, where property is acquired through private dedication, the deed is strictly construed. Land which has been dedicated as a public park must be used in conformity with the terms of the dedication, and it is without power of a municipality to divert or withdraw the land from or park purposes. Such land is held upon what it is loosely referred to as public trust, and any attempt to divert the use of property from its dedicated purposes or uses incidental thereto is an ultra vires act. Citations omitted. From the policy consideration, the courts have upheld restrictions on charitable contributions in the interest of donors who have directed that their contribution be used for certain charitable purposes. Holt versus College of Osteopathic Physicians, 61 California 2D 750 394 page 2D 932 40 California Report, 244-1964. Such restrictions are also upheld by the court because of the interest of the public in encouraging the site creation and the continuation of trust for charitable or public purpose. This policy consideration has specifically recently recognized in the County of Solana and Handerly, 155 California App 4th 56666 California Report 3D 201 2007, where the court stated that if the courts were to permit public entities to accept from donors gifts of property subject to restrictions on the property's use, and then later jettison those restrictions on their own, whim, donors would be discouraged from making such gifts in the future. A second policy concern expressed in County of Solana and Handerly is rooted in the maxim of equity that he who takes the benefit must bear the burden. According to the court, that means that the donee of a conditional gift may not keep the gift unless the donee complies with the donor's conditions. That donee, in the case is public entity, does not exempt it from that rule. To the contrary, public entities should exemplify equitable conduct. A public office is a public trust created in interest and for the benefit of the people. A public entity has a heightened duty to act equitably when it accepts a conditional gift from a donor for the public's benefit. Even where land is transferred from a deed restriction as to the use of the property, a gift to an entity must exist solely for the particular charitable work will be construed to be held in trust for that purpose. C.E.G. in R.E. Merchant's Estate, 143 Cal 537-77-P-475-1904, and Re. Winchester's Estate, 133 California 271-65, page 475-1901. Thus, in Re. Merchant's Estate, for example, in upholding a bequest, the court stated that the intention of the donor to the Oakland Red Cross Society was that the bequest should be devoted to the objects to carry out, which was the sole purpose of creating and maintaining the society. Clearly, where the government entity is created for a single purpose, a contribution to such entity by an individual will be construed to be held in trust for the particular purpose.
C. 1888 deed created a charitable trust, subjecting the VA to a fiduciary duty to permanently use donated land as a home for veterans. When John P. Jones and Arcadia B. DeBaker originally donated 300 acres of land in the West L.A. National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, a predecessor to today's VA, they left no doubt of their intention that the land be permanently dedicated to, as a home for veterans. The March 5th, 1888 deed conveyed the land contains no less than five separate references to the requirement that the land be based to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch home of the National Home. The deed specified stipulates that the land was conveyed in return for the promise of the National Home be permanently used the land as a branch home for veterans. The deed also refers to the Act of the Congress on March 2, 1887 that authorized the Board of Managers of the National Home to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of said National Home, located at such a place in the states west of the Rockies as it shall appear most desirable and advantageous. Pursuant to this Act of Congress, the National Home accepted 300 acres of donated land in 1888 for the express purposes of creating a permanent home for veterans in West L.A. There can be no doubt, therefore, that the donors of the land in the National Home under the 1888 deed intended for the donated land to be permanently used for the purpose of providing a home in West Los Angeles for disabled veterans in a manner consistent with the meaning of home, adopted by the National Home at the time of the donation of land. Further, the donors similarly manifested in intention to impose an affirmative duty on the National Home to use the land for such purpose. Clearly, the donation of land under the 1888 deed was not intended as an unrestricted gift to the National Home for its general purposes, but was restricted for specified, limited, and definite purpose, establishing a permanent branch home for West L.A. for the veterans. As a result, the 1888 deed created a charitable, a public trust, under which National Home was given a land only to the capacity as a trustee, subject to legal imposed fiduciary duty to use the land solely for the purpose of permanently providing a home for veterans in the West L.A. branch, home of the National Home. Consistent with the meaning of home at the time, the land was donated to the National Home. National Home, therefore, was required to use the land only as in the manner directly contributes to the use of the land as a home for veterans and was not permitted to divert the use of such property for another or different purpose. As a successor of the National Home, the VA now holds the donated land only as a trustee, subject to the same fiduciary obligation as the National Home to utilize the donated land in West LA solely for the purpose of permanently providing a home for veterans. The 1888 deed clearly expresses the donor's intention for the donated land to be permanently restricted for specified, limited, and definite purpose of providing a home for veterans in West L.A. National Home, by virtue of the Act of Congress of March 2, 1887, in the language of the 1888 deed, accepted the donation land subject to such restriction. Indeed, the donation of the land by the donors under the 1888 deed was premised on the very promise made by the donors by the National Home to permanently utilize the donated land for home of veterans, but for the promise, as it's beyond doubt, the donation of land would have been made for the first instance. Moreover, as described above, and consistent with the name being officially changed in 1873, before the 1888 gift from the National Asylum for Disabled Soldiers to the National Home for Disabled Soldiers. The very purpose in creating the National Home in its first instance was a provision of permanent home for veterans and was widely known as a publicized at the time that the donors donated the land pursuant to the 1888 deed that the concept of the home at the National Home was meant to be a domestic environment that sought to provide a home for life by catering to the whole person. Intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical, where veterans were provided with living quarters, food, recreation, amusement, religious instruction, employment opportunities, and medical care. By the time the donors donated the land for the Pacific Branch in West L.A. under the 1888 deed, after the Act of Congress on March 2, 1887 authorized the Pacific Branch Home, it was widely known that the branch home at the National Home was meant to be. The way the branch home at National Home was operated at the time and benefits the branch home in the National Home accorded to the veterans at the time. There can be no question regarding the intent of the donors regarding the use of the donated land under the 1888 deed. At common law, a trust is a fiduciary relationship between respect to property. Under it, the person holding title to the property has equitable duties to manage the property for the benefit of another person. The fiduciary relationship arises as a result of the expressed intention to create the restatement third of trusts. 2003. Clearly, the United States can act as a trustee, e.g., memorandum for the Assistant Attorney General, Civil Division, fiduciary obligations regarded Bureau of Prisons and Commissionary Fund. OLC opinion, May 22, 1995, citing 2 Scott and Frasher, The Law of Trustees, and 95, 4th edition, 1987. As sovereign, the United States has capacity to act as a common law trustee. Emphasize added. See also 2 A. Scott, The Law of Trustees, 95, 4th edition, 1987. It's been held that the United States can hold property in trust. Such trusts are usually trusts for charitable purposes. The VA may serve as a trustee, and in doing so, acting on behalf of the United States. In the present matter, given that the land is questioned as donated under the 1888 deed, specifically subject to the agreement of the predecessor of the VA, permanently use, the land is a home for veterans. There is no question that the fiduciary duty of the VA to use the donated land as some based upon the specific agreement.
As a result, in the case of the 1888 deed, the National Home was given the title to the land only in the capacity as a trustee subject to legally imposed fiduciary duty to permanently use the land solely for the purpose of providing a home for veterans, consistent with the meaning of home when the land was donated to the National Home in 1888. The National Home, therefore, as trustee, was not permitted to divert the use of such land for another or different purpose, and as the successor of the National Home. The VA Assembly holds the donated land only as a trustee and is subject to the same fiduciary obligation as the National Home to permanently utilize the donated land for the limited purpose of providing a permanent home for veterans. To utilize the donated land in a manner that does not directly contribute to the use of the land as a home for veterans is not permissible. Similar to the 1888 deed, because of the West LA branch, home of the National Home, was created by an act of Congress for the sole purpose of having National Home to locate, establish, construct, and permanently a branch of said National Home. The land donated under the 1899 deed and the 1921 deed is considered restricted to the same extent as the 1888 deed, and as a result, the VA had fiduciary duty to use the donated land under the 1899 deed and the 1921 deed as a home for veterans, just as it does under the 1888 deed. Article number 7, failure of a VA to use donated land under 1888 deed as a home for veterans constitutes a breach of its fiduciary duty and its impermissible diversion from the purpose to which land was dedicated and a violation of donor intent. Rather than adhering to its obligation under the 1888 deed to use the donated land as a permanent home for veterans, the VA has chosen jettison the restrictions placed on the donated land of its own to whim. Article 44. As there is absolutely no reason why the donated land cannot be used for its intended purpose as required under the 1888 deed. Footnote 45. Accordingly, the actions of the VA in this matter has resulted in a breach of its fiduciary duty, a diversion of the land from the purpose to which it is dedicated, and a violation of donor intent. The West LA VA no longer provides lifelong or long-term residence and care for the deeded land for those veterans who require only a home, even though the county of Los Angeles has the largest population of homeless veterans in the country. Instead, the land conveyed under the 1888 deed now holds the largest healthcare campus in the country and a nightly average.
Less than 1,400 veterans sleep on the site, up to 1,000 of whom occupy inpatient beds at the James Wadsworth Hospital, with the majority remaining participating in a variety of treatment programs. In other words, those veterans who are located on the facility are no longer dealt with as residents, but as patients. See footnote 47. While the West Los Angeles VA describes the facility as a tertiary care facility, including long-term care and domiciliary, see footnote 48, with the exception of a nursing home care unit that currently serves 226 elderly veterans, see footnote 49. Homeless veterans must prove that they are substance abusers, mentally ill, or in a few cases, receiving medical treatment at Wadsworth Hospital before being provided with a bed, see footnote 50. They may then enter a program for recovery for up to only 2 years. The mission of the West Los Angeles VA focuses on health care, not home, and that it exists to serve the veteran through the delivery of timely quality care by staff who demonstrate outstanding customer service, the advancement of health care through research, and the education of tomorrow's health care providers. See footnote 51. The domiciliary functions that remain today are primarily operated by charitable organizations such as the Salvation Army and New Directions to cater to people in recovery from substance abuse and or the dual diagnosis of substance abuse and mental illness. The domiciliary experience is therefore both entirely medicalized and positioned as an act of charity rather than a right earned, contrary to the stated intentions and purposes of the National Home, see footnote 52. Today, the veteran experience on the deeded land has changed from the requirements imposed under the charitable trust established under 1888 deed. As the status of a veteran on the West Los Angeles VA has shifted from that of a resident of a home to that of a patient in a hospital to be cured and moved on, so participation in local activities has diminished or been eliminated. The patient's day is structured by the recovery program. Participation in unscheduled activities, such as an art class, require a doctor referral. There are virtually no athletic facilities available to veterans on the extensive VA grounds, see footnote 53. Community entertainment is restricted to major holidays and is often unavailable even then, see footnote 54. This is a far cry from the purposes for which the land was given. The uses specified by the donor under the Triple Trust created by the 1888 deed. Moreover, the VA has used the donated land for a multitude of purposes that beyond any doubt do not directly contribute to the provision of a veteran's home. Even worse, these other uses effectively bar the use of the donated land from its dedicated purpose as a home for veterans. Access of veterans to at least 110 acres of land at the West Los Angeles VA is either forbidden or restricted, see footnote 55, by land sharing agreements that the VA has entered into with commercial and other organizations. This use of the land is not in conformity with the requirements under the 1888 deed that the donated land be used in a manner that directly contributes to its use as a home for veterans, and is therefore not permissible. For example, the Wadsworth Theater, built in 1939 as an entertainment center for veterans, is under a sharing agreement with Wadsworth Theater Management, LLC/Richmark Entertainment, as is the Brentwood Theater with a 27-acre parcel of land. The venues host Broadway shows, musical concerts, film premieres, theatrical productions for which veterans are charged full ticket price, see footnote 56. Notably, the 42-page Wadsworth sharing agreement includes such requirements as special event signage dimensions, but it requires no cost reduction or hiring preference for veterans. The 2.53 acres subject to sharing agreement with Westside Operating Partners, LTD, Redburn Energy Company, LLC, are now, home to a number of active, I can't see, productive oil wells and are consequently off limits to veterans. Building 224 is subject to a sharing agreement with Western State Design Incorporated, which affords space for the processing of laundry for Marriott Hotels and other non-Marriott properties and thus exclude veteran use. Approximately 10 acres of donated land is used by Enterprise Cars and Tumbleweed Charter Buses for vehicle storage and is also consequently unavailable for veteran use. Consistent with the breach of his fiduciary duty under the 1888 Act deed in August 2007, a rent-free 20-year enhanced sharing agreement was approved with the Veterans Park Conservancy for the operation of a 16-acre public park, which renders the land unavailable for VA development of veteran serving uses, ergo housing for homeless veterans, and is therefore antithetical, to the dedicated purposes of such land. Of additional note in the instance, entry plaques that once read National Veterans Homes have been replaced with ones that read National Veterans Park. Accordingly, the beautifully arranged grounds of the Soldiers' Home, which were both entirely contingent upon the principal presence of a home for veterans, is an integral component of the concept of home, are now being preserved for the benefit of the surrounding predominantly civilian population. Independent of any such preservation of a home for veterans, this is not a permissible use of donated land.
Conclusion. When John P. Jones and Arcadia B. DeBaker originally donated 300 acres of land in West L.A. to the National Home for Disabled Volunteer Soldiers, a predecessor to today's VA, they left no doubt of their intention that the land be permanently dedicated as a home for veterans. Their March 5, 1888 deed conveying the land contains no less than five separate references to the requirement that the land be used to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch home of the National Home.
The deed specifically stipulated that the land was to convey in return for the promise of a national home to permanently use the land as a branch home for veterans. The deed also refers to an act of Congress on March 2, 1887 that authorized the Board of Managers of the National Home to locate, establish, construct, and permanently maintain a branch of said national home located at such place in the states west of the Rocky Mountains as shall appear most desirable and advantageous.
Pursuant to this act of Congress, the National Home accepted 300 acres of donated land in 1888 for the express purpose of creating a permanent home for veterans in West L.A.
The restrictions imposed upon the 1888 deed conveying land in West L.A. to the National Home created a charitable or public trust whereby the VA, as the successor to the National Home, holds the donated land only in the capacity as a trustee, subject to a legal imposed fiduciary duty to permanently use the donated land as a permanent home for veterans.
The VA has chosen to jettison the restrictions placed on the land under the 1888 deed on its own whim, and in doing so has turned its back on the fiduciary duty imposed upon it by accepting restricted donation of land.
As a result, the VA has breached its fiduciary duty, diverted the use of the land from the purpose to which it was dedicated, and violated donor intent.
This land is held in trust to be used as a permanent home for veterans and should once again be returned to that use as required under the 1888 deed and intended by the donors.